Have you printed out the free coloring sheet for this lesson? You can download and print it at the link in our show notes. And you can access full lesson activity guides, bonus videos, nature devotions, and our themed Bible and nature scavenger hunts in the Nat Theo Club. When you join, you receive new resources every week and access to all our back content. Dive deeper into God's creation and the Bible in the Nat Theo Club at erinlynham.com/club or at the link in our show notes.
Hello world, wake me up to another good morning, time to go.
Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynham. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and his created world with you. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to travel in outer space? Maybe you could float around in the spaceship, or even outside of the ship in space, tethered to the spaceship by a cord. Can you imagine that? It would be pretty cool to talk to an astronaut who has been into outer space and ask them what it was like. What questions do you think you would ask them? Maybe, what did they eat while in space? Or did anything like space junk or meteorites zip past them? Or what does planet Earth look like from above? You might have heard that monkeys have traveled in space, which is pretty cool. But humans and monkeys are not the only living things to have experienced space travel. Today, we will discover another living thing that has traveled in space and the unique way it survived harsh outer space conditions. Here is our trail map.
Are you ready?
We are going to learn what is lichen and how is lichen a weather reporter? How did lichen survive space travel? How did God design lichen to live well through rest? And how can we rest during hard times? Before we hit the trail, let's thank our sponsors who made this lesson possible, including the Family Adventure Days at the Creation Museum. My family will always remember our amazing adventure at the Creation Museum and everything we discovered about God's wild and wonderful world while there. Discover God's fingerprints all throughout nature and science at the Creation Museum. During the Family Adventure Days, running every Monday now through May 19th, you will enjoy free guided tours, interactive exhibits, and live presentations. Also enjoy freebies including treats, souvenir tumblers, and exclusive discounts across the museum. Plus, kids 10 and under always get in free. Make your Mondays unforgettable. Visit creationmuseum.org/family-days or grab your tickets today in our show notes. This lesson is also made possible by the Rocky Mountain Homeschool Conference, where we would love to meet you. Kids, do you want to learn about God's creation while having a whole lot of fun? And parents, do you want to strengthen your homeschool journey with biblical resources? Join us at the Rocky Mountain Homeschool Conference this June 12th to the 14th. You can use the coupon code in our show notes to save $30 on registration. The Rocky Mountain Homeschool Conference offers hands-on creation science activities for kids and inspiring workshops for parents. While you're there, make sure to stop by our Nature Museum booth and meet our live axolotls. Don't forget the free bonus day on June 11th. Register now at RockyMountainHomeschoolConference.com or at the link in our show notes and grab that coupon code to save $30. All right, here is our trivia question. What do birds use lichen for? Take a guess and we will find out at the end of our lesson. And Nat Theo Club members, make sure to click over at the end of this lesson to the bonus video, where I will introduce you to one of my favorite types of lichen. And we will discover where lichen might be lurking in some items you use around your home every day. You can find that bonus video at the link in our show notes or in your Nat Theo Club dashboard. And listeners, if you would like access to our weekly bonus videos, activity guides, and nature devotions, you can find those in the Nat Theo Club. Learn more and join at the link in our show notes. Have you ever heard of lichen? Whether or not you have heard of it, you have probably seen it. I like to think of lichen as the paint of the forest because lichen comes in many colors, including bright orange, lime green, yellow, and black. It is often found growing on rocks and tree trunks, and it splashes many wild places in bright and beautiful colors. But what exactly is lichen? Unlike real paint, lichen is alive. Lichen is part algae and part fungus. So we should probably quickly answer, what are algae and fungus? Algae is a living organism that is similar to plants, although they are different from plants because they do not have roots, stems, or leaves. They belong to a group of living things called protists, and they are plant-like things living in water that can create their own energy from the sun. You have probably seen algae before. It is the slimy stuff that sometimes floats on top of ponds or grows on the sides of fish aquariums. Seaweed is also a type of algae. And what about fungus? Fungus is not a plant or animal. It is a living thing in its own category. Fungus includes mushrooms, molds, yeast, and as we are about to see, lichen. If you want to learn more about fungus, make sure to listen to lesson 11 about mushrooms and fungus. So lichen is both algae and fungus. But how can it be both at the same time? Lichen is what we call a symbiotic relationship. In nature, when two living things have a close relationship, often helping each other or one helping the other, it is called a symbiotic relationship. In the case of lichen, it is a symbiotic relationship between algae and fungus. And here is how algae and fungus help each other. God designed algae to do something quite amazing, to use the sunshine to create its own food through a process called photosynthesis, just like plants do. But fungus is not like algae, and it cannot photosynthesize or create food from the sun's energy. So the algae part of lichen offers this great help. It can photosynthesize so that the lichen can get energy from the sun. But what does the fungus bring to the table? Fungus provides shelter and nutrients for the lichen. You see, fungus is very good at breaking down old natural materials and turning it into healthy nutrients, and it can do this for the lichen. So what does this mean? The algae part of lichen provides energy through photosynthesis, and the fungus part provides shelter and nutrients. If the algae could talk, it might say, "Hey fungus, do you want to partner up? I'll bring the energy." And the fungus might reply, "Yeah, let's do it. I'll bring shelter and snacks." That sounds like a good deal to me. When we see things in nature working together like this in symbiotic relationships, it reminds us that God is relational. We see so many of these beautiful symbiotic relationships that reflect a creator God who cares about relationship and helping others. Lichen is not only good for algae and fungus, it is good for an entire ecosystem, or where things in nature live and work together. You see, lichen is kind of like nature's weather reporter. Lichen can show air quality, or how healthy or unhealthy the air around them is. My husband sometimes gets air quality alerts on his phone. We will receive an alert saying that the air in our area is particularly dirty that day. Maybe there is a wildfire nearby and the air is full of smoke, or there is a lot of pollution in the air. Lichen can do this also. Well, now, of course, it cannot send a message to our phones, but it can help scientists understand how healthy or unhealthy the air in a natural area is. How does lichen do this? Well, lichen are very sensitive to the air around them. They can soak in pollution or dirty stuff in the air. And when they soak in dirty air, some species of lichen change form or shape. And they might not be able to photosynthesize or use the sun's energy as well, so they don't grow as well. And pollution can also bleach lichen. This means the lichen loses color or gets white patches. When a living thing is very sensitive to changing conditions like this, it is called a bioindicator.
What?
That is a strange word. Let's break it down. Bio means life or living things. And an indicator is like a measurement or meter. Think about a thermometer indicating how hot or cold it is outside. So bioindicators are living things that act like a meter, showing the conditions around it. Some living things are bioindicators simply because they are so sensitive to their surroundings that if, say, their water is dirty, they might die. And that would tell scientists that the water is dirty. So lichen can give a weather report to help us understand how healthy or unhealthy air is in a natural area. All right, so lichen is very sensitive to its surroundings. But it can also survive very hard conditions, not only on Earth, but also in space. It's time to learn about space-traveling lichen. In the year 2005, lichen took a ride on a satellite that was orbiting or traveling around planet Earth, and it spent 16 days in space. Now, the lichen was not hitchhiking. It was actually supposed to be there. It was on the satellite to test how hardy lichen is. Hardy means that something or someone can endure very hard circumstances. If you walk into a fish store or a pet store selling fish, you might notice that some tanks of fish have a sticker that says that species of fish is hardy. Those are usually the fish that are easier to keep alive. They can endure a lot of different and changing conditions in their aquariums. So is lichen hardy? Did it survive its space traveling adventure? It did. And more recently, from the years 2014 to 2016, lichen was kept on a platform called the Exposure Platform outside the International Space Station for a year and a half, and it survived. But how did this living thing that is very sensitive to something like air pollution survive such harsh conditions while traveling in space? Lichen has a very unique strategy for surviving when things get hard. What do you think that strategy might be? Do you think it puts on a suit of armor? Or maybe in this case, a spacesuit? Nope. The way lichen survived space travel is very special. Lichen survived by resting. Which brings us to our question of rest. How did God design lichen to live well through rest? As scientists observed how lichen survived space travel, they discovered something very interesting. They also saw it after lichen landed, when they further tested lichen in laboratories on Earth. In the lab, they exposed lichen to Mars-like conditions to see how the lichen would respond. When put through very harsh circumstances, lichen survived by going dormant. Dormant means that something is not active or growing, but it could become active and keep growing in the future. It is kind of like suspended animation, or a pause from regular life and activities. The creature, or in this case, the lichen, is in a state of deep rest. Scientists have discovered that lichen can go dormant, or in this deep state of rest, for months, or even years. Then, when conditions are safe and good again, the lichen can, in a way, wake up It comes out of dormancy to continue growing. This is lichen's strategy when things get very hard. It doesn't panic. In fact, it doesn't even have a brain, but it rests deeply until the conditions are safe again. Just as we see all throughout nature, rest is necessary for the survival of lichen. In fact, God created all of nature to live well through rest, and that includes us. Many times, people, society, and media might make us feel like rest is a weakness or lazy, but rest is the opposite of weak and lazy. It is incredibly powerful and productive, and it is necessary for our survival. It's not only our bodies that need rest, but also our minds and our spirits. Now, I am guessing that you have never been strapped to a satellite orbiting Earth, or spent a year and a half on the International Space Station, or been exposed to Mars-like conditions. But I'm also guessing that you have probably gone through some hard things in life, or you will go through harsh circumstances, like lichen faced. I have definitely had my share of hard times. I think of one time specifically when I was pregnant with my daughter and something seemed wrong with her heart. We spent weeks in and out of the doctor's office and hospital, and we did not know if our daughter was going to be okay. During that time, I felt restless. Rest felt impossible, because I would stay up all night making sure my baby in my womb was kicking and praying for her to be safe and healthy. But even in those very hard circumstances, God helped me to rest in Him. Kind of like lichen, I needed to go dormant for a while, to go into a deep state of rest during this very hard season. So how did I do that? Well, like lichen going dormant and stopping its normal activities, I could not keep doing what I normally did. I needed to accept a lot of help around our house. Friends helped by taking care of our other children during my doctor visits. And many friends brought us meals so that I did not need to cook or clean our kitchen. And I turned all of my focus to God, reading the Bible, spending time in prayer, and remembering all the promises that God gives us in His Word. I'm so grateful that my daughter was born healthy and safe, and I can look back on that time and see how God used that season of waiting and rest to teach me to trust Him and that it's okay to step back from normal activities in order to rest in His presence and promises. You see, listener, when we go through very hard circumstances, we might need to change our activities for a while so we can focus on resting in Jesus and allowing Him to help and heal us. Isaiah 30:15 says, "In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength." You know, sometimes when things are hard, we might want to panic or be filled with fear or anxiety. But let's put a magnifier on this verse for a moment and see what it says. It begins with, "In returning and rest, you shall be saved." The original word used for rest in the Hebrew language means quiet, calm, and patience. Think about lichen going dormant in space. We too can remain calm and patient, quieting our minds to silence any fear or anxiety as we think about God's promises. The verse goes on and says, "In quietness and in trust shall be your strength." The word for quietness can mean to be tranquil, at peace, and undisturbed. Think again about the lichen. It was undisturbed by the harsh space-like conditions. And finally, that word, trust. The verse says, "In quietness and trust shall be your strength." This word for trust means confidence. So in hard times, we do not need to panic or be afraid. We can remain calm and at peace, undisturbed by the circumstances around us, and have confidence in God's promises. Let me share one more story with you of a hard time in my life. A few years ago, my husband became very sick. My kids and I drove him to the emergency room, thinking that they would give him some medicine, and then we would all return home and have dinner together. Well, they had to keep him at the hospital, and I was not expecting that. I drove home with our kids, and I was very scared. I did not know if my husband would be okay, or if he would come home. I had to go dormant. I had to rest in Jesus. Thankfully, my oldest son saw what I needed. He was only 9 years old, but he offered to make everyone peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for dinner and get all the kids to bed. I went into my bedroom, sat on the bed, and I cried. I cried because I was sad and scared, but very quickly, my crying turned to crying out to God. I opened my Bible and I read every verse I could find about God's peace, and I prayed. And do you know what happened? An overwhelming peace. Peace like I have never before experienced in my life washed over me. It was the peace talked about in Philippians 4:7, which says, "And God's peace, which is so great we cannot understand it, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." A couple of days later, we brought my husband home from the hospital. He was still very sick, and he would be for months to follow. I was so grateful to have him home. And now, as a family, we had the opportunity to go dormant for a while and rest as God brought healing and restoration. Listener, when you face hard times, remember the space traveling lichen. Rest is not weak. Instead, resting in God's presence and promises is one of the most powerful things we can do. It's time now to hear from one of our listeners. Here is today's listener question.
Hi, my name is Walter. I am 8 years old. I live in North Dakota, and my question is why onions make you cry?
That is such a great question, Walter. Why do onions make us cry? If you have ever cut open an onion or been in a kitchen when someone else does, it might have made your eyes sting and perhaps even caused some tears to fall down your face. But why does this happen? You might remember from past episodes that all living things are made up of tiny things called cells. Plant cells, including the cells inside of an onion plant, have something that animal and human cells do not have. They have a cell wall. Now, animals and humans have cell membranes, which is kind of like a flexible barrier around our cells, but plants have a more rigid cell wall. One reason for this is because plants don't have bones like we do, so they need something to give them shape and help hold them up, and the plant cell walls do that. This is why when you cut open a vegetable like an onion, it makes a crunching noise because the knife is breaking through a whole lot of tiny cell walls. In the case of an onion, when a knife breaks through those cell walls, the liquid contents inside of the cell walls are freed and they mix together. To be specific, enzymes, which are a type of protein, meet and mix with sulfur compounds. This mix produces a new chemical which irritates our eyes. This irritation triggers our brain, which tells our eyes to produce tears in order to flush out and clean that irritant away. Thanks for your great question, Walter. Stay curious about God's wild and wonderful world. And listeners, if you have something that you are curious about in nature, you can submit your question at erinlynham.com/ask or at the link in our show notes. And Nat Theo Club members, make sure to click over at the end of this lesson to our bonus video, where I will introduce you to my favorite type of lichen, and we will discover where lichen might be lurking in some items that you use around your house. You can find that bonus video in the show notes or in your Nat Theo Club dashboard. All right, it's time to answer our trivia question. What do birds use lichen for? Do you have a guess? Birds have been observed using lichen for nesting material or to build their nests. In fact, lichen can help camouflage their nest so that it's not easily seen by predators who might want to steal and eat their eggs. That's pretty smart. Two North American birds that commonly use lichen for building their nests are the ruby-throated hummingbird and the blue-gray gnatcatcher. Now it's your turn to explore. Go find some lichen. Go on a nature walk and look for as many different types of lichen as you can. Maybe check out a book from your local library to help you identify the different types of lichen. Bring a notebook and colored pencils and try to sketch some of the different types of lichen. See if you can match the colors as close as you can. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this lesson on cosmic space traveling lichen, please take a moment to send it to a friend and subscribe, rate, and review Nat Theo wherever you listen. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world.